It's Jill, so I'm going to turn it over to Jill.
Okay, my name is Jill and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jill.
Hi, family. My clean date's June 23rd, 2011. And boy, am I nervous. Oh my gosh, there's so many faces. Okay, so when they first told me the topic that they wanted me to speak on, I was like, oh, you must have me confused with somebody else. Like, parenting is the area in which I struggle the most. It's so hard because I don't know, or I struggle to find the balance between what I'm supposed to control as a parent and where I'm supposed to let go and let God do his thing. You know, because as a mom, my job is to control a lot of things in my kids' lives. I have a son who's 5 and a daughter who's 15, so it's a pretty big age gap, and it's a lot, you know, to have one entering kindergarten and one's a sophomore in high school, and they keep me on my toes. You know, my daughter, just like, I guess, a little background, my daughter was 6 when I got clean, so she fortunately doesn't remember a whole lot of stuff, you know, but she remembers some stuff, and I did some damage to her and in that relationship and in early recovery, you know, just trying to get my life together. My son, on the other hand, it's weird, you know, they had the same mom, but it's kind of like they had a totally different mom for those first few years of life. When my son was born, I had a couple years clean, and I was married, and he's never seen me high, you know, and it's really cool because he never has to, and my daughter never has to see me high again because of this program, and that's really a miracle. Like, I struggled. I wanted to be clean for my daughter so bad, but I couldn't get it together until I found NA. So I read through the section of the book again, and it's like most of our literature is so jam-packed with information in a small area, and really talks a lot about parenting and has a lot of valuable information. So I'm going to reread the sentence that was a topic I was given, which was, when we practice self-acceptance, we can accept our children as the human beings they are. When I first read that, I kind of had some questions or some things that I didn't really understand. And this topic's been really cool because it's given me a chance to talk to a lot of people in my lives about a specific like focus and get people's feedback and opinions. And so I understand the value of self-acceptance. Certainly it's a really important principle and an area in which I still struggle a lot today. But I'm not sure at first that I really saw the connection between my self-acceptance and accepting my kids. And I've always wanted to believe, you know, that like I can be like 100% the best mom regardless of how I feel about myself. But there's some hard truths for me to swallow in the literature that say that my level of self-acceptance, my spiritual condition affects my children, affects my ability to parent. And that's hard for me because I struggle with self-acceptance, because I struggle still with depression, with anxiety, with other stuff. And the book and my sponsor and all of y'all tell me that I gotta take care of myself to be the best mom that I can be. So in the section of the book, I found that it talks a lot about, and what kept coming up for me was about breaking the cycle. By doing what we do in recovery, we can break the cycle. And that is so powerful. I come from a long line of addicts, you know, different substances. My mom didn't use substances, she used food, but she still had that addictive thing, those traits that we have, those defects, and it's so powerful for me to think that there's actions I can take in my life to prevent my children from suffering the way that I suffered, the way that we all suffered. It says, perhaps the best gift we can give our children is acceptance of themselves. And since we cannot give what we do not have, what we want for our children can motivate us in our own journey. And I think, man, self-acceptance, there's stuff in the basic text that talks about like what we wanted most was to feel good about ourselves. Self-acceptance is a huge key for me personally in what I was searching for all those years, the reason I was using, you know, And if that's a gift I can give to my children, then I certainly want to do whatever I can to give that to them. And it is definitely a motivating factor in my recovery. My husband and I both work in the recovery field. I just started, just went back to work after being a stay-at-home mom for a bunch of years, so that's exciting. But what I have learned is that there are scientists doing experiments and research and finding that there's actions we can take, there's things we can do to turn on or turn off certain genes. So basically, science is proving what we already know, which is that what I said, our recovery work can break that cycle. We can actually make it less likely for that addict gene to, I just realized my husband was here and I got distracted. Hi, babe. I lost my train of thought now. He's so cute, y'all. Anyway, okay. So going through this section, it brings up a bunch of times about self-centeredness, another form of self-obsession, self-loathing, how that stuff harms our children. Parenthood is one area where self-centeredness can do real harm. Working a program of recovery keeps us from getting drawn into our self-obsession and helps us to see when we are recreating old patterns that we don't want to carry on to the next generation. Simply living lives of honesty and integrity sets a pattern for change. Our example teaches our children more than our words ever can. It's so powerful for me. My daughter, she's 15, and she has experimented, and she's going through a time of pain and confusion in her life, and this book just addresses that directly. Here we go. Self-loathing is just another form of self-obsession and blinds us to the needs of the person in front of us. That's not the part that I wanted to read. Here it is. It's another kind of self-centeredness. I mean, it just talks about that stuff so much, self-centeredness, self-loathing. Another kind of self-centeredness to see our child not as who or she is, but as a reflection of ourselves, our parenting, our decisions. It goes on to say that trusting that our children have their own path and letting their own relationship and their own relationship with a higher power can bring us to a new understanding of our third step. When we get out of the way, our children come into focus as the unique human beings they are. Our recovery is a message to them and to us that there are such things as second chances. That part about seeing our children as a reflection of ourselves and how that's another form of self-obsession, that was another bit that was hard for me to swallow because I do look at my daughter and see myself. And I've spent a lot of time and energy thinking about how I don't want her to go through what I go through. I mean, she looks like me. A lot of y'all know her. She looks like me. She acts like me. She struggles with some of the same things that I struggle with. And I can get locked into this idea like that she's a little me, but she's not. And she doesn't have to suffer the way that I suffered. And so what this literature is telling me, though, is that I have to get out of self-centeredness and into self-acceptance to let her be her own person. And if she's at a point in her life where she wants to go into an NA meeting and say she's an addict and look for some solutions, I have to step back from that. That's God's business. That's not my business, you know? And that's really hard for me. Like, I just want to protect them. I struggle with, like, I see my daughter as a baby, you know? Like, not a baby, but like a little kid. I'm like, she's just 15. But when I think of how I was at 15, you know, I thought I was grown and I was doing some grown people stuff. And I gotta give her space, you know, and man, the fact that she's even interested in finding out what recovery has to offer is so freaking cool. Like, I wasn't, you know, I knew I had family in recovery at that age and I was not looking for any solutions. I was looking for trouble at 15. So, that's God doing his work, and I have to know that. Like, all I can do is set an example for her, is try to show her what self-love and self-acceptance looks like, and let God work in her life and pray for her. Oh my gosh, I pray for her a lot. And my son too, you know, because my kids have such a big age difference, he has a whole different set of issues in his life. He's starting kindergarten and he's dealing with learning about like being independent and having self-acceptance and like the ability to function away from me, from his parents for 7 hours at a time. And that's a whole nother set of challenges. But something that I've learned about in doing the reading and the thinking and the talking to prepare for this is that at any stage of my children's lives, what I need to do is the same, which is this, which is I need to continually do an inventory. It talks about writing an inventory helps us sort out what we believe so we can better act on it. Oh, this is what I actually started out talking about. Oh my gosh, I have not been talking as long as I thought I had. Okay. It's like, must be almost done by now, right? When we have responsibility for our children, it can be very confusing to distinguish what is and what is not within our control, right? That's what I was talking about earlier. Like, what is mine and what is God's? I'm really grateful that I have a sponsor who's a mom, a super awesome mom. She's in here too. Shout out to my sponsor. Who can help me distinguish some of this stuff, right? Without my sponsor, I would be super lost. Like, I'm all about sponsorship and step work, and those are some of the things that really have changed my life. Like, so confusing to distinguish what is and what is not within our control. Writing an inventory helps us sort out what we believe so we can better act on it. It also talks in here about letting go. Separating out what I can control and what I can't, and then letting go of what I can't. I don't know, I've run out of stuff to say and I have a lot of time to fill. This is it. All my notes, like throughout this whole thing, are about breaking the cycle and about self-acceptance being the opposite of self-obsession and self-loathing. One thing that, like, I also started out talking about, like, my, like, process of trying to figure out what my self-acceptance has to do with accepting my children as the human beings they are. And what I learned is that when I'm not in self-acceptance, where I am is self-obsession, self-loathing, and that skews my vision of the world, of my children, of everything around me, and that's when I'm seeing my children as little versions of themselves. Or, you know, I have a complicated relationship with my daughter's father, and because of my decisions that I made in active addiction, she's currently living with him. She's with me every other weekend and stuff, but that can be a real big mess too, is like seeing him and her, you know, and that whole struggle dealing with him. And again, what comes up over and over again is like, what can I control and what do I give to God? You know, like, I've met a lot of people who, like me, had a child with somebody in addiction who they didn't really care for, and it creates a lot of hassle. But through recovery, through working the steps, and through, you know, like when I first got clean, I saw where in the literature it talks about like how we can only change ourselves, you know, we can't change them. But I was so locked in this attitude of, and I still don't like the guy, don't get me wrong, but I was so locked in the attitude of like, he did this, he's wrong, he's bad. And the book told me that as I went through my recovery, that things would get easier and that what was really changing was me. But I had a hard time like accepting that that could be what was gonna happen. You know, like I knew that I would change, right? But I didn't believe that there was any amount of changing I could do that would make him any more tolerable. But as it turns out, there was an amount of changing I could do that would make him more tolerable, because he is stuck right in the same place that he always was. He's not in recovery and he hasn't made any attempt to grow or change But I am, and because of that, now we can do things like say, hey, can I change weekends with you, or pick up earlier, pick up late, or whatever. And that's all because of the growing and changing that I've done, you know, like, man, parenting, like I started out saying, has been the biggest challenge. It's where there are the most emotions for me. Another thing I heard when I first got clean was that the hardest things for addicts are romance and finance. And those things are challenging, certainly, but for me, parenting, like, is takes a kick over all of that, because I don't know. I guess because in romance and finance, there's, like, I'm able, maybe easier to give that to God or something, but when it comes to my children, that's the area where I want success more than anything. That's the area that means the most to me. If everything else falls apart in my life, what I want is for my kids to be happy. And that brings us right back around to, for my kids to be happy, I have to be able to accept myself. If I let my program slip, you know, if I stop working on me, here's one where I'm really guilty, if I lose myself in parenting, then my kids suffer, which is paradoxical, I guess. Is that the word? Like, I will give every ounce of energy I have to my children. I will spend every minute driving them where they need to go or doing what they want to do. And certainly, little man, you know, just started kindergarten, and there he is, by the way. He's real cute. And so now his kindergarten starts crazy early. His bedtime is early. And so something that I'm struggling with right now is making meetings, because his bedtime is 8 p.m. Has to be. He wakes up at 5:45. But it's like, got to find that balance, because I can't sacrifice my recovery for my kids. If I do, I'm sacrificing my kids, you know? And I don't know, maybe all the solutions, but I do know that recovery has to always be a priority in my life. I'm working on a 10 step right now, and I have to answer the Living the Program IP every day for 30 days. And one of the questions in there is the most important thing in my life today staying clean, or was staying clean the most important thing in my life today? Every night I struggle with that question. Because I'm like, the most important thing in my life today is my family. But then I have to look at my actions. Well, I'm riding this step every day, even though I don't particularly want to. And so that's an action showing that my recovery is top priority, right? I'm not going to a lot of meetings, but I am going to at least one meeting regularly. So that's showing that my recovery is a top priority. But like, that's just an ongoing struggle with me, is balance, right? And priorities. Because I know recovery has to come first, but my heart says my kids have to come first, you know, so I'm gonna look at the clock, and let's all hope it says another time. We're close enough to out of time. So so this is it. I'm gonna circle back around to this, you guys. What I've learned in recovery is this: none of us ever have to use drugs again. None of us ever, our children never have to see us high. If we don't have kids, we can take actions now to ensure that if we do have kids, they don't ever have to see us high, and they're even going to be less likely to become addicts themselves because of what we're doing right now at this convention. That is so freaking powerful that I just can hardly wrap my little brain around it. Like, we can stop suffering, our own and other people's. And that's pretty miraculous. So thank you guys for letting me share.
Okay. All right, thanks, Jill, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. Okay. Our next speaker is Thomas. You want to come over here, Thomas?
Sure.
Want me to move?
No, that's okay. You stay there.
Oh, I'll get too excited.
Put a timer on. Hi, my name's Tomas Lemonatic. Oh man, grateful to be clean today. Excited for recovery. Who's excited to be clean today? Thank you for sharing. I love listening to the experience and strength and hope of people that are like doing this deal of parenting, because it's not easy. I want to thank the HACNA committee for even considering an addict like me to come share at a workshop, more or less a parenting workshop. Like, I mean, it's like you look at a schedule and it's like parenting. You know what I mean? Like, man, like, how boring can that be, right? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, parenting. You know what I mean? And it's like, but I have fun parenting. Like it is an amazing life to be a parent, man. It is such a gift to be a parent. It's a gift on top of the gift of recovery. You know what I mean? The promise, right? The promise of freedom, man. Of active addiction, man. Like, I no longer have to use dope anymore, man. And on top of that, many gifts, right? And being a parent is a major gift to me. And I think it's all about perspective, right, to the addict. What's important and what's not important. Maybe there's some addicts in here that parenting ain't important to them. I have to be okay with that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That has nothing to do with me. But I know what's important to me in my recovery. Calm down. Thank God I'm a alternate GSR, and I sell literature for my home group. So I had some like extra literature in my car, and it's not marked up. It's one I'm supposed to sell in the group because I left mine at home that had notes and everything. And I was like, damn, I even got the Living Clean book, and I found my bag of literature, and there was one in there. I had self-acceptance pamphlet and all the good, like God hooked it up, man. When I'm slipping, you know what I mean? God had my back. I'm also going to read the topic, page 145, Living Clean. Oh, man. And it says, when we practice self-acceptance, we can accept our children as the human beings they are. I just talked to my sponsor, right before walking up to this workshop, and he was like, "Hey, dude, what are you doing?" We were talking, getting some H&I stuff situated because he's in another area, and I'm his wife's chair, and I'm chair of my area, and they were gonna take over a facility, prison facility. And he didn't know I was up here at the convention. I'm like, yeah, I'm at the convention. Can you pray me in, man? I mean, he was like, are you about to share? I was like, yeah, man. And so, like, man, we were able to pray in on the phone, which is so important to me, right? Especially from that heartbeat. That heartbeat, man. And so we prayed in. And he's like, what's your topic? And I was like, I didn't have the sheet with me. I was like, man, some long topic. It's something about when I'm in self-acceptance, I can accept my children as the human beings they are. And he's like, what the world? He's like, man, well, like, what kind of topics do they give y'all these days? You know what I mean? Like, man, he's real old school, man, got some time, and he's all about basic text and basic text only. He's not about the step working guide. He's about old school worksheets, man. And I got some experience with step working guide from previous sponsorship, but now I'm working with this sponsor, and this is how he does it. So I had to get into some acceptance of how he does it. Took me a while. I was like almost rebellion to how he wanted to do it. You know what I mean? And that harmed my recovery for a little while. I'm so grateful for that connection. It was a God connection. But anyways, that was with the topic, right? He's like, bro, he's like, well, God put you here. Like you're an excellent father. You're doing the deal. You do the deal both in your recovery, in your life outside recovery, and in the life of your kids. And I don't know how you do it, man. I can't do it. I got to take my hat off to you, man. And that stuff is like so humbling to me, man. Like I don't even know how to receive it. Like, I was a dope fiend fucking addict, man, that all that mattered was getting fucking high and using. If you left me with a kid, I'll put smoke in their face, man. I'll put dope in their mouth, man. I was harming kids in my addiction, man. And now, man, like, I get this gift of recovery. And God has blessed me, right? I didn't know nothing about parenting while I was out using. A little story of, like, how I got here, man. I didn't talk about what I was doing out there, but, like, how I got here was all in the hope, little snippet of hope of that maybe there's a purpose in life other than using. Because I was at the verge of, like, I'm going to die, man. Any fucking day, I'm going to die using. But it was okay. I was okay, man. Like I didn't have no hope to live. I was the last of my, era of people I hung around with that grew up with no kids. Everybody else had kids, had family, at least had a baby mama of some type on child support and shit. And I'm like, fuck, I can't even be on child support. You know what I mean? Like, I can't have no kids, man. Like, I'm just destined to be a fucking using addict, man. And nothing good is out there waiting for me. Found myself getting clean in my, like, close to my mid-30s, man. And it was because a sheriff pulled up to my house saying, you need to take this DNA test for this possible child. You're one out of five possible fathers, and the other four names on there were my circle of friends. I didn't want this kid to be my kid. I didn't want the mom to be the mom of my first possible child. I didn't want it, man. I never want a kid. I had to take a look back through the step work process because I'll forget some shit in active addiction that I don't want to look at or admit that that was me. And I see how I walk two girls through abortions, man. When they tell me they're pregnant, oh man, I don't, ain't no kid didn't get away of my wonderful life of using. You know what I mean? And then I walk them through. That was my MO, man. You tell me you carry my kid, I manipulate the hell out of you to have that abortion, and then I throw the deuce, man. Disappear. And I was talking to another addict for breakfast. Today, man, I have a relationship with females, and they're beautiful, and they're honest, and they're pure, and they're genuine, and we can share with each other the journeys. And she was wondering a little bit of my story, and I was talking, and I was like telling her how, like, God had it all planned out, man, like. Like, he knew that if I was in the life of the mom when she was pregnant, I would have more than likely did what I was used to doing, walking her through an abortion. We were stuck in a 3-year hell of a relationship where I felt I couldn't leave, man. Didn't want people using with her like I used with her. Didn't want people having sex with her the way I had sex with her. I just couldn't see myself leaving. I wasn't not just in the grip of the using. I was in the grip of the relationship and the sickness in the relationship, man. And somehow God, after 3 years, was able to separate that. A year later, I find out she had a baby. He removed us from each other so this child could be born. and then presents this child back into my life to screw. Another act says, God does his best work from the bottom of the barrel, man. From the fucking scraping the corners of the barrel, pulling us out, man. And I believe that's what he did with this addict, as well as many addicts sitting in this room today. Because I'm not the only one. You know what I mean? We're all miracles in this room, man. You know what I mean? We've all gone through some type of pain, misery, that was a choice at one point, and then, you know, became, man, all that was necessary was using, right, and getting more. But, you know, so I was presented, I was the father, man, Maury stuff, right? I was the father, you know what I mean? And I was like, but how could I be the father? How could I be the father if this guy, she was in a relationship with this guy, pictures of the whole birth, the outfit, name on the birth certificate, the family. And the only reason why they came looking for the real father is because she was going to jail for a dope case 2 years prior. And he was going to jail for some type of harm to a kid, another kid. And they caught a charge because somewhere in that care, our daughter experienced or suffered 3 fractures in her legs at like 6 months old, and her first walking experiences were on stints. She learned how to walk on stints, man, because they were dangling her in an argument and fractured her legs as a baby. And when I heard that news, man, it did something to me. That, like, I just wish, like, well, you know, first ego pops up and all that shit. Well, that shit wouldn't have happened if I was in the picture, but I would have been fucking using. I would have probably been the one dangling the kid. You know what I mean? I'd have been acting out in the same fucking way, right? You know what I mean? In reality. But something happened, man, and I wanted to be in that child's life, right? And it didn't matter. She was in CPS custody. And long story short, I took CPS in the state of Texas to trial. Didn't go well. Had to get a court-appointed lawyer, and it wasn't going well. I couldn't stop using, man. Going to court, couldn't stop using. But I wanted to be the dad. They're like, man, no, sign your rights away. She signed her rights away, and I flipped some tables. They're like, we'll put you in jail. I was like, put me in fucking jail. I'm not signing my rights away. How you gonna come find me, disturb what I got going on, to tell me that I'm a father, and then now I'm not father quality, like I'm not parent material. You don't offer me no help. You just tell me what I can't be and can't do. And something didn't sit well with me, man. And how it all turned out, man, is that an old acquaintance of mine popped up out of the blue and was like, I know where you can get some help. And I went to go get help, man, during this custody battle that wasn't going well. And the judge was like, look, we'll put this on hold. Go do what you need to do and come back, right? And that's how I went to go get clean, right? Now, why I came to Narcotics Anonymous is because I wanted to stay clean. Y'all told me the solution was in Narcotics Anonymous, right? And that if I wanted what you had and were willing to get it, then these are the steps and the things I have to do, right? Get a sponsor, come to meetings, work steps, get literature, read the literature, get a home group, get active in the home group, man, share honestly. And I wanted to not use, I wanted to stay clean to get custody of my kid. And that was it. I had reservations. I'm going to go back out to use, man. I ain't going to fucking shoot no dope up. I ain't smoke no crack. I ain't going to fucking put crack up my ass anymore. I'm not going to fucking do all that crazy shit anymore. But I'm going to fuck sit with my 40 and I'm going to have my blunt and I'm going to have my kid running around. And I'm going to be a good fucking parent and chill for the rest of my life, man. You know what I mean? Like, that was the reservation, man. I wasn't working no step. 1 year clean. You know what I mean? And then, like, when I'm picking up my clean tag, my key tag, 1 year, a sponsor appears at my home group. They're like, man, you need to start working steps, man, and this and that. And I got a sponsor. It's like, man, we're going to work steps. And I'm real grateful for that process, man. If you're sitting in here, going to meetings, staying clean, that's good. But if you want the healing process and the recovery process to kick in, man, get a sponsor, start working steps, because that's what started with me when I got a sponsor, start working steps. I got to learn about the disease of addiction and know what I suffered from. You know what I mean? It was no longer I just was a dope fiend who had a drug problem. You know what I mean? And like, I got to become aware of what I suffer from, the disease of addiction, man. You know what I mean? And that it's incurable. It's fatal. It's progressive. And it'll never go away. And only I can come to terms with that, man. That only I can seek the help that's given here in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Narcotics Anonymous is the hope, man. Any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, man. So, you know, and this is how I became wanting to be a parent, man. I didn't know what parenting looked like. I didn't know what it was going to require. I didn't know anything about parenting other than what my parents gave me. What I know about Narcotics Anonymous, man, we come from all walks of life, man. We got people, rich addicts, poor addicts. We got people come from abusive addict family, non-abusive addict families. You know what I mean? We got people that suffer from a long line of addiction. Some that they might have been the first one in addiction. You know what I mean? My story is I come from a good family, like immediate family, my dad and mom. My dad has some doctors and lawyers and good head on their shoulder. My mom's got, you know, some people in prison and come. I kind of favored that side. It seems like, right? That's where it probably came from. But like my family was a good family, man. They brought me up well. We're middle class, weren't poor, weren't rich. Older sister. I don't know where I was real rebellious as a kid, but I'm just saying that was my background, man. And if that's your background, man, like you can too recover in Narcotics Anonymous, man. You don't gotta be that hopeless fucking addict that came from such a terrible place that might want to have that identity of. To be addict, you know what I mean? Like it's not where we come from that makes us an addict. It's like once we use and we have that allergic reaction that makes us an addict. You know what I mean? And so like, man, when I used, an addict reaction went on. But I remember being addicted to masturbation at a young age, man. And I would hide that shit and be sneaky about it, man. And what I've learned through the recovery process is that the disease of addiction lives in fucking dishonesty and secret and being secretive, man. And so like I see where I was diseased up early in life, right? So now back to parenting, man. See, I get so like it amazes me that I'm a parent, man. I'm a parent today, man. I'm a good parent. I'm a very good parent. Not only do I have full custody of, now she's 8, I got a 3 turning 4 and a 4 turning 5. And when my daughter was three, I had a one-year-old whose birthday is December 5th, and then my son was born the next January 12th. Like, back to back, man. So I'm that addict in my area. They seen me with one kid, and then a carrying a kid, to one kid walking on their own, to then two kids carrying, and then to double stroller with the kid. In the meetings, man. Showing up to meetings with my kids, man. Disruptive or not, man. I'm talking about in a meeting, getting ready to share, sharing. One starts crying. I have to pick them up, make the bottle while I'm sharing. You know what I mean? And then shove the bottle in their mouth and maybe stop sharing. Maybe that's God's way of saying, shut up, your time's over. You know what I mean? But like, you know what I mean? Like I'm talking about parenting while still in the recovery process, not allowing the disease to say, man, your life's too busy, man. You got too much on your plate. You ain't got time for meetings. They're going to be too disruptive. The literature tells me my life's at stake. My step work tells me my life's at stake. And so, like, I know I earned a seat in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and my kids don't have to be there, but I have to be there, right? And what I tell my home group is that this is your opportunity to practice principles over personalities. You don't practice them on my kids. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for that, man, because they have, man. They have loved my kids. They have seen my kids grow up in the rooms. They are like real NA babies, man. From the hospital to a meeting. You know what I mean? And I had a three-year commitment with my home group every noon, 12 o'clock meeting, where I had to show up, chair the meeting with all three kids, man. It was fucking nuts. But I kept showing up, and I kept feeling that commitment, and that's like, it's just been my parenting in the recovery process. Now, how does self-acceptance affect me accepting my kids as human beings? Well, through the step work process, and only through the step work process, I'm able to get to see me as a human being. Because I am a human being today, man. And I have feelings today. And I have defects of character today. And I have shortcomings today. And so do they. So do they. And through the step work process, I get to become aware of me, in which I get to become aware of others. I see how, I think you read something about like breaking the chain. And man, I don't have my notes in this one, man. So I'm just looking at a bunch of words. But it's like, the cycle I'm trying to break is my yelling. Like my yelling at my kids, my yelling at normal talking, because my dad yelled. And I saw yelling, so I'm yelling. And I yell at them, so now they yell at each other. And we're all just a yelling family wherever we go. And people outside looking in are probably like, what the fuck's wrong with them, man? They're fucking all yelling at each other, man. The eight's yelling at the five, the three's yelling at the eight, and everybody's yelling, man. It's like the norm. And it's starting to hurt me. It doesn't feel good. So I have to practice not yelling no more, man. I have to practice. I used to think I'd come in the group and cuss my ass off while I share, but then go home and tell them, hey, y'all can't cuss. The conflict, man. And through a four-step and a fist, I see that stuff, and it's like, man, I got to start watching out how I share in the meetings. I got to watch how I conduct myself in the meetings, not just at home. Recovery happens in the meetings, but we live recovery outside the meetings, and it starts at home. For me, that's what I was taught. I was taught that I need to build my recovery I need to build my life around my recovery and not my recovery around my life. You know what I mean? So, like, meetings are a priority before anything, my kids. And I love my kids to death, man. Like, I know what type of addict I was. I know how I used. And I know I can be self-centered. And I don't ever want to be so self-centered and to the point where I neglect my kids in any way, because it'll be real easy for me to probably stay there. Before I don't want to start pawning them off to the help I do get, because it'll be real easy for me to take advantage of that stuff. Start manipulating, thinking that they're just helping me. But where's the self-centeredness in that? I look at that stuff in my fourth step. Am I really letting them help me, or am I being self-centered through my recovery and taking advantage of my help? Pawning them off. This is maybe the second convention in my 6 years where I don't have none of my kids with me. And it's weird, man. It's not me. I don't know who me is without kids in recovery. I don't know what I like to do when my kids ain't around. I don't know what to do when my kids ain't around. The disease starts thinking, well, man, bro, you know, like, it wants to revert back to some sick and old behavior, some stuff that ain't principled in the recovery atmosphere. And I have to be aware that I got to share this stuff. I got to call my sponsor. I got my sponsor, and I put him on blast. But we're coming up here. He's like, bro, you ain't got to be Mr. Dad this weekend. You ain't got no kids. You ain't got to be Mr. Recovery this weekend. You ain't got no kids. Have some fucking fun, man. Let's menage a trois. I'm like, bro. Hold on, man. Hold on. Calm down. Keep coming back, man. You can do that shit. I'm going to try and stay abstinent. I'm going to try. Because the disease of addiction says, man, that's a good fucking idea. That's a good fucking idea. And I start having ideas that sound good as somebody with like 90 days. Or 100. I'm in trouble, man. I got to like share that shit with some people or get it out, right? You know what I mean? And it's like, man, I love my kids so much, and I'm really proud of how I can get out of self-obsession and self-centeredness with my kids, because I can put my time with them in front of my Dallas Cowboy game time, before my Facebook time. Before my let me go find a relationship with a girl time. Before, ooh, I need sex and I need to act out in lust and put a female in front of my kid time. You know what I mean? Like, man, I don't do that. My kids come first because of my recovery. Because of my recovery, I can keep my kids first in those areas that keep me grounded. Now, it has kept me grounded to a point where I don't do step work. Being a single parent with a newborn and a one-year-old and a little five-year-old trying to ride on a four-step wasn't too thrilled about riding on my second four-step, bringing up a kid and another kid. Like, I don't got the time, man. I ain't got the time. And I sat on it for a while. And so I'm not as far along in the steps as I feel I should be with the time I have. I have to share that stuff, man. Like, you know, I do the best I can with the recovery that I got. And it said in there about we can't give away what we don't got. But what I do have, I use it to the best of my ability. I know how to give love and I know how to give unconditional love to my kids, but I don't know how to do that with another female, man. I've been in two relationships while being in recovery, and I've never been able to put that relationship in front of my kids. And for that, I think it doesn't work, because I'm not what the relationship it should have. You know what I mean? Like I don't give my all. And I don't know if I ever will be able to, because I'm all that my 8-year-old daughter has. Her mom is locked and loaded in the disease of addiction. She's not only lost this daughter, she's lost 4 other kids. She still won't stop using. 3 months ago, she just got arrested for prostitution of a minor. And my daughter suffers. Man, I suffer with her. And these are the things that I deal with on it. When my daughter is, she's seeking for a mom, man, who wants to be there but doesn't have the ability to be there. But I know there's hope for her, because there's hope. There was hope for me. There was hope for y'all. You know what I mean? And there's hope for her still. And I just got to keep walking this journey. Keep talking to my daughter that one day she's sick. And I don't ever let my ego get so big, because I tell her, you remember when, you probably don't, but you know I wasn't there the first 2 years of your life because I was sick. Yeah. And she's now sick. I'm getting better. Yeah. And just last month, we're riding the car, and she's like, is mommy on drugs? And I didn't want to say yes. She's like, I'm so happy you're in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to wrap it up with this, but like my most recent parenting that I'm so proud of is with my 8-year-old. I went to a meeting, ponder off to my parents, and cousins were staying over, their boys. I get back, it's quiet and everything's like serious. And my mom's like, yeah, we caught them on top of each other, kissing under a blanket and this and that. And I wanted to get fear. I want to go wake her out of bed and fucking spank her and scold her and all this shit, man, and put fear in her and like all this stuff. And like, I just stopped, man. And I remember I was just, I had to go to bed, and I wake up early at 4 a.m. I get them ready. I'm giving silent treatment. I start reaching out to other addicts. But thank God I got relationships with addicts that are different time zones. It's 5 there, but it might be 6 or 7 somewhere else. So I start reaching out to my predecessors, and my sponsor's still asleep. I don't bug him with it till he wakes up. And I call them, and I'm reaching out. I'm telling them what I'm dealing with, man, right? And how I want to react and how I want to respond. And an addict told me, man, and this was like so fucking like helpful. He was like, whatever you do, man, don't put fear in your daughter. Don't make her feel that she has to keep secrets from you. You will activate. You will turn the light on to the disease of addiction before she uses. Because if she likes it, she'll continue it. And I just shared how before, when I was a young kid, I did sneaky shit that I didn't want my kids and my mom to do. And that's where I saw obsession and compulsion kick in. And then later, once I put the substance in me, it latched onto that shit right away. So I don't want to harm. I was able to come home, talk to my sponsors, talk to some people, look at my 4th step and my 5th step, and look how that when I was 9 and I had a female cousin come down out of state, and we had to stay in the same bed, how I try to get a little freaky too. So like, how dare I now try and scold her for some shit that I did when I was a kid. Right. So I was able to come at a different, hey, I did that too. Yeah. And it wasn't right for me to do it. Yeah. And I was told to not do it again because it's not right. So I'm asking you, don't do it again because it's not right for you to do it. You can do it when you're 19, but don't do it right now. And you know what she did? She said, I love you, Daddy. And we hugged. And the communication in the wall didn't come up. And we still, when things happen, she still shares with me. She's honest with me. Because I didn't handle it how I wanted to handle it. Compassion, love, understanding, step work, reaching out to addicts, man, getting experience from addicts that are doing the deal parenting. I couldn't parent if I didn't have the parents in Narcotics Anonymous, because I'm not getting this from my parents. I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, man, and the members in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Like y'all helping me be the parent that I am. I'm not doing this alone. Sometimes I feel like I am, but I know I'm not. I'm just real grateful to be clean. If this is your first convention, man, have a blast, man. If this is, I love NA. I'm real grateful for HACNA. And thanks for letting me share. Yeah.